So Luke 24, please. So let's keep praying for the Curry family this week. Teresa is up in Virginia, is what my understanding is. And that's right, Jason? And y'all are going up. Do we have a date yet? Thursday. And Teresa lost her grandmother. And so comfort for the Curry family and traveling mercies as well. Would you take a moment and look at Luke 24? I want to kind of just jump into the middle on this road to Emmaus experience. The two of them are there. Behold, two of them, on verse 13, they're going en route to the village of Emmaus. And they're moving from Jerusalem. They're having this conversation. And there is an expectation in verse 21. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. All right, grab a hold of that idea of redemption. That they knew that there was supposed to be redemption. That Christ was going to provide redemption. And they were quite disappointed, because from their perspective, it was not accomplished. That they thought Christ was going to redeem them, and he did not. In verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found, even as so the women entered and said, but him they saw not. Then he being Jesus, he said unto them, now they didn't know it was Jesus, but he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now from that, let's turn back to Ruth chapter number 3, because tonight and next week, I'm quite confident David will follow up and he will continue to show us how much Boaz is a type of Christ. And we are to see this story, this love story, in light of the love that Christ has for his bride. Verse 1, chapter 3. The book of Ruth. Our sermon title tonight is Rest But Not Relaxation for Ruth. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now, is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he's winnowing, harvesting barley, or that next process in the harvesting process, tonight in the threshing floor. Wash yourself, anoint thee, put thy raiment on thee, get thee down to the floor, but make not known thyself unto the man until he's done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down that thou hast marked the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet or his legs and lie down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went down to lie at the end of the heap of corn. I don't know why they're calling it corn here when they just identified it a moment ago as barley. Grain. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Afraid might be too strong. Startled might be better. He said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread forth thy skirt over thy handmaid. Thou art a near kinsman. All right, that's a very important verse right there. We're going to unpack that quite a bit. Maybe you underline that part, therefore thy skirt spread, therefore thy skirt over thy handmaiden. And anytime we're talking about a guy wearing a skirt, it's a little bit awkward there, so we certainly need to talk about it. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true, I am a near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman. Well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. She lay at his feet until the morning and rose up before anyone could know that she was there. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. And he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, hold it. When she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she said, she told her all that the man had done unto her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, sit thou, my daughter, until thou know the matter will fall, for the man will not rest until he has finished the thing this day. Let's pray. Lord, guide our Bible study tonight, I pray. Hear the prayers of your people, all the requests that are made, ship dates, illnesses, surgeries, tests, traveling mercies, a plethora of requests, God, from within the body of Christ. In some cases, Lord, we're praying on behalf of unbelievers who need to see your glory in healing. In other cases, we're praying for sisters and brothers in Christ who need to experience the presence of your comfort. I'm thinking about a dear sister who's struggling. God, I pray that you would speak to her heart, minister to her depression and her loneliness and her hours of sorrow. Comfort her. I think about the marriages in this church that are struggling. I pray, God, that these words in this chapter would be a help. In Jesus' name, amen. So this word rest is a very important word when we're looking for Jesus in this passage. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? Would you underline that, please? Shall I not seek rest for thee? What is Naomi trying to do? Someone tell me. What?
Get her set for life.
Get her set for life. So we're talking about Social Security, paperwork, monthly entitlements. A husband. A husband's going to bring her rest. A husband's going to bring her what?
Security.
A husband's going to do this. That's what she's doing. Naomi is playing the role of what?
Matchmaker.
That's right. Matchmaker. She's finding a potential husband for this woman. What did we say last week were some of the issues of why this was so important? What did we say last week as to why it's critical that she finds this man for her? John, you raise your hand. A widow back then had very, very little resources, influence. Anyone else? Michelle. Her family line had ended. She doesn't have sons that will take care of her. She's not having grandchildren that will take care of her. She does have a chunk of land. She does have a piece of land. And she has a daughter-in-law who is stuck with her. That's what she has at this point. So this word rest, as in this kind of rest, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Remember, she's going to get married to, as you well know, Boaz. And in getting married to Boaz, she will receive what? Rest. She's going to receive rest. And so now we want to remind ourselves, Danny, that Boaz is the type of Christ. And she is the bride of Christ. And we remind ourselves that we find rest in Christ. How so? Come on, give me some ideas of how do we find rest in Christ? Eternal security. A sovereign God is guiding our future. How do we find rest in that, though? How does he provide rest for ours? What?
But not trying to be perfect.
That I don't have to be perfect? That in Christ my sufficiency is found? So I have my future, my sufficiency, eternal security. How else do I find rest in Christ? John.
Comfort in the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Comfort with the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Grace, sufficient to tackle tough things, deal with hard life experiences. John.
I don't have to lay in bed at night and worry about dying because I know he's my resurrection.
I don't have to lay in bed at night dying.
Worrying.
In one essence, you are dying. You do understand that. Moment by moment, you're dying. Getting closer and closer to the end. Being part of the body of Christ, that the body provides rest. Matt.
Providence,
knowing that my steps are being guided. Brandon.
Freedom from the guilt of sin.
Freedom from the guilt of sin. We're getting some great answers. Harold, all the way in the back. Mediation. Harold reminds us that Christ is mediating on our behalf. David, all the way in the back. He is God Almighty, and through him anything is possible, including healing. Right. So come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, it's not easy. It's not easy if we deviate from this and we create some salvation experience that requires us to confess all our sins in order to have assurance of salvation.
Right.
You do understand that we have lots of brothers and sisters in Christ that don't rest in Christ. They don't have eternal security in Christ. They don't understand that it is finished, David. Telestai, is that how you pronounce it? Yeah, it's in your office. It reminds me every time I see it. He said it's finished, and I'm going to show you later in the chapter where he says it's going to be finished. So the NET Bible says, my daughter, I must find a home for you so you will be secure. Now, I bring this to your attention because there is great value in reading multiple translations. There's great value in that. I don't understand any Christian who has a hesitancy to reading the Word of God in more than one translation. Because you're trying to understand, what did Naomi mean when she said this in Hebrew? And remember, every language has nuances. Nuances. So what are the nuances of this Hebrew word rest? Because when I think about rest, I only think about it in the context of taking a nap. I need to get some rest. But that's not what she was saying. And so when I look at this translation, I say, I've got to find a home for you. Now I'm getting some clarity as to what she means by this idea of rest. That only by securing a home for you will you find rest. So she's clearly working as a matchmaker Good thing or bad thing? Good thing or bad thing? Matchmaker, good thing or bad thing? You said good? Both? Good thing or bad thing? Should the body of Christ be encouraging courtship? Is this a good thing? Yes. And one of the ways that we show it's a good thing is by attending weddings, attending bridal showers, participating in those events, showing up, getting excited when these things happen. Now, Boaz is one of our kindred whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he is at this location, this threshing floor, and they're taking care of the barley. Take a bath. That's good stuff right there. Wash up. Wash up. Rub on some perfumed oil. Get dressed up. I said something from the former pastor this morning. I'll give you one more. He said, if the barn needs painting, paint it. You remember that baby used to say that? If the barn needs painting, paint it. All right? You're offended. Sorry, sister. All right. He said it, not me, okay? All right. But give us some good guidance right here. You know? This is the idea here. All right, we'll move on. Make not thyself known unto the man until she have done eating and drinking. Now, this is a very cultural thing, isn't it? This is very unique to this culture. You know, you're not going to intervene until that's taken care of. And it shall be when he lies down that thou art to mark the place where he lies, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he shall tell thee what thou shalt do. Now, this has got to be just like, this is not recommended for today. Okay? I mean, I don't know what the application of this is in the year 2016. Okay? This is, yes. I mean, what do you think, John? I mean, isn't this a little awkward here? I mean, think about the narrative here. The man is sound asleep, and this woman has crawled up next to his legs. That's what's being described here. Don't miss it. Okay? Yeah, potential kinsman. Now remember, the kinsman has the responsibility of raising up a child, because who's dead? Yeah, Naomi's husband's dead. Ruth's husband's dead. So there's a need to procreate, and the closest relative is supposed to do his duty, and he's not doing it. Liverite, is that how you pronounce it? Leverite. This is the idea here. And she said, I'll do it. We talked about this last week, didn't we? You got to listen to what you're told. Just listen. If you get some good godly advice, follow it. This is good stuff. She went down the floor and did all that her mother said. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went down to lie down at the end of the heap of the barley. She came softly, uncovered his feet or his legs. Does the ESV say legs? What's it say in the ESV? Feet? Okay. And laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid. I don't know if afraid, like scared. I think he's kind of... What, you know, you're not expecting that. Can we, you know, that's not routine. You're not my wife. You know, I wasn't really expecting to find a woman laying there. I read some commentators that suggested that this was kind of common, that women of less than appropriate reputations would typically solicit men during this time of the harvest season when they've got some cash and there's a little extra drinking going on here. So you can kind of go there as an adult. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she said, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread forth thy skirt over thine handmaid. Now, again, we're dealing with an English translation of a Hebrew word. Let me remind you of that, right? What is the right English word to communicate here? Because you and I, when we think of skirts, you know, we don't think about men wearing skirts. Unless, what's those backpack guys? Yeah, in Scotland, right. But other than that, it's not for us. So here's a good commentary note. The Hebrew here is to spread your wing or skirt over your servant. Many medieval Hebrew manuscripts have the plural dual, your wings, rather than the singular, your wing or skirt. The latter is more likely here in the context of Ruth's marriage proposal. In the metaphorical account in Ezekiel 16:8, God spreads his skirt over naked Jerusalem as an act of protection and as a precursor to marriage. Okay? To marriage, as in Ezekiel 16:8. Then I passed over you and watched you, noticing that you had reached the age for love. I spread my cloak over you and covered your nakedness. I swore a solemn oath to you and entered into a marriage covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord, and you became mine. So we have the Lord in Ezekiel marrying who? Israel, again, as a precursor to our Lord and Savior Jesus receiving a bride, the what?
The church.
The church. So we're looking here, what is Ruth asking Boaz to do? That's right. She's asking him to marry her. Spread your wing over me. Take me under your protection. Make me yours. That's what she's asking for. That's precisely. Ruth is asking Boaz to take her under his wings of provision and protection. The ESV translation is, spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. You're a redeemer. Here's our Hebrew word translated 14 times skirt, 79 times wing. Also borders. So think about this imagery with me now. Okay, let's go Christological now. Think about the woman who says, if I could just touch the edge of your garment, I'm going to be what?
Healed.
Give me another one. Who can think of another one with this wings and garment and skirt imagery? How about, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you under my wings? See where we're going this? So she is asking Boaz to do for her what we know Christ has done for us. Isn't that good? You ought to love the synchronization of your Tanakh with New Testament theology. Why? Because it should give you great confidence in the veracity of the Word of God, in the authenticity of the Word of God, in the genuineness of the Word of God. How in the world does a story writer craft such a narrative that provides for us a wonderful picture of Christ? 1,500 years later. Dick says the Holy Spirit. Almost like holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit to write these kind of words down. These kind of words. All right. So what are we to make of Ruth proposing to Boaz? What do you think, church? What do you think? What do you think about this idea of her proposing? I mean, she finds her husband and says, will you marry me? I mean, that's what she's saying. Don't miss this. When you say, will you take me under the wings of your provision, you're saying, would you make me your wife? Mike, what do you think? What's that? Yeah, in Genesis, right. Is that 37 or 36, somewhere around there? Right. What do you think? What do you think about Ruth proposing to Boaz? Is this off limits?
Desperate times call for desperate
measures. What'd you say?
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. What'd you say?
It goes with the law.
It goes with the law. How so, Jeff?
Because he is a kinsman redeemer. He's the near kinsman. She is asking him
to do his duty. To do his duty.
She's following her mother-in-law's instructions.
She is following her mother-in-law's instructions. So now let me ask you, is the Lord leading her mother-in-law?
Yes.
So if the Lord was leading you, would you propose to a man?
Yes.
Now you're good, right, sister? I mean, sir.
Ruth wouldn't know the tradition of the Hebrew people to have the kinsman redeemer, but Naomi did.
Yes, yeah, so Naomi's clearly leading her in this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think, ladies? Would you propose to a man if the Lord was leading you? Don says yes. Don's nodding your head. Other ladies, would you propose to a man if the Lord was leading you?
Absolutely.
All right, Chris says yes. Absolutely here. I mean, we have these traditional societal norms. Is it biblical?
It's not good.
What's that? No, I said we have the societal norms, which would be that the man proposes to the woman.
Right.
Right. Is that biblical? Okay.
Apart from the Holy Spirit moving us and from God seeking us, we wouldn't come to him.
Okay, Dick is really unpacking something pretty good right here that we need to listen to. He's suggesting here that the manner in which a male looks for a bride and proposes that marriage is a picture of Christ seeking us. Recognizing that because of our total depravity, there would never be a time apart from the work of the Holy Spirit that we would ever seek the Lord.
Right.
That when we seek the Lord, we're seeking the Lord because he has already been seeking us.
Right.
It feels like we're doing it, but in reality, we are responding to the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You want to do a show of hands, lady? How many? No? Sure? You're curious. You're no. You're not going to propose to a man. Okay. No. John. Wow. All right, Adam.
I think we need to be careful about saying what's, you know, what's biblical and what's not. Polygamy is accepted in this culture, so you need to be really careful about, you know, saying that we need to get back. You need to analyze.
Absolutely. That's all we're doing. We're just having a conversation based on a unique narrative. Yes.
So it's not that she is an unknown entity just walking up asking somebody to be married.
Right.
It's that they know her. Boaz knows her. Christ knows the bride.
Sure.
And so I think this is a picture of the human necessity to respond to the word of God.
Good. Okay. Blessed be thou of the Lord. What's he want for her? What's he want for her? This is his response to what she says. He wants her blessed.
Right.
He wants her rewarded. He wants her taken care of. She is asking that he take her under his wings. And he is not sure he can do this. He's not sure at this point that he can do this. There is someone else that may choose this. And so can he say yes to her at this point? No. But then what can he do? Blessed be thou of the Lord. I hope God blesses. I'm asking God. I'm praying for you. I want to see you find that rest. I want to see you experience the blessing of God. I want the Lord to repay you. I want the Lord to reward you for all that you've done. What has she done? She's left her country, accompanied Naomi through an arduous journey, embraced a new God, and has been winnowing in fields for her. And she has a reputation of that. Naomi's life presently is better because of who?
Ruth.
Because of Ruth. And does Boaz see that? Yes. And he is asking the Lord to reward her for her labor. That's what he's asking for. Blessed be thou of the Lord. For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, as much as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. There must be an age difference here. Yeah, there's got to be an age difference here. And he's kind of surprised that this younger woman has decided that she wants Boaz to be her husband instead of a young man, whether it be rich or poor. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And then look at this next sentence. It is so good. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now let me just jump up and down obnoxiously right now in kind of an offensive way and say to you, if you come to church for 45 minutes a week, how will you know who the virtuous men and women are in the congregation?
Right.
How will you know? How will you know who's virtuous? How will you know who knows their Bible? How will you know who they are? How will you know the character of that man if you never see him in church? How will you know the character of that woman if she doesn't serve in a ministry? How will you know anything about her if you don't see her living out her faith in a community of believers? I remember when I fell in love with my bride. I couldn't be at church enough. Could not be at church enough. You know why? Because she was there. And we grew together. Outings, events, picnics, conversations, time together, before the service, after the service. Remember, this is pre-texting days. This is when you actually talked. Really novel concept. You would get to know each other through conversations. And he says, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. What does the church know about you? Are you a Boaz? Are you a worthy woman? Let's just focus on being a virtuous woman. Let's just focus on being a Boaz. Let's focus on being a Boaz. Boaz employs people. Boaz has riches to share with. He can provide. He takes care of others. He's a godly man. She's a virtuous woman that's doing her job, serving the Lord, making a covenant. The Lord be with you.
Right.
And how did they respond, Dick?
The Lord be with you.
Right. You don't say that back to a boss that you want to go to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You don't say that to that. You say that to a boss that you believe wants your best interest at heart. So in chapter number 2, he's saying it to the workers. In chapter number 3, he's saying it to her. Blessed be the Lord. The sovereign God of Israel be with you. Bless you. For now it is true that I am the near kinsman. It's true, I am a relative. I am close. But in reality, what you don't know is there's actually someone nearer than I. Tarry here this night, and it shall be morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman. The part. What is that part that he must perform? He's got to marry her. But in addition to marrying her, he's got to purchase a chunk of land. He's got to purchase a chunk of land, and then he's got to marry her, and then he's got to engage in an act that creates procreation so that she can have a daughter. Those are all the responsibilities. And as David will show us next week, that son that she has will inherit the land. This is an important point. Go ahead, Dick.
About what he already knows.
that there's another redeemer present, a relative, that's actually closer, so he has first right of refusal.
He might have proposed if she had waited.
You're really into that, huh, Kim? You want? Yep. So maybe she jumped the gun. Yep. The text does not tell us that the Naaman was led of the Lord. But the part, and the part is what the kinsman has to do. He's got to do the part. Remain here tonight, and then in the morning, if he agrees to marry you, fine, let him do so. But if he does not want to do so, I promise, as surely as the Lord lives, I'll marry you. Wow, that's good. Sleep here tonight. What a man of integrity. What a man of integrity. By the way, you do understand that she's been already married. Yeah, she's already been married. Yeah. Yeah. One translation says, marry Ruth. Another translation says, do the part. This is why it's important that you compare translations and study the Word of God. Because it's not just marry her. It's not just marry her. So if you only read one translation, oh, he's going to marry her, and you run on to it, and you don't make the connection, whereas this translation said he's got to do the part so that you understand that it's not just marriage here, that there's redemption involved in here, that a purchase has to occur, like he purchased the church with his own blood. That idea, so that we get the greatest degree to which Boaz is a type of Christ. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before anyone could know. She said, let it not be known that a woman came here. Bring your veil, bring your shawl, bring that thing that you have around your shoulders here. Bring it here. So she takes it off, and now she creates this cloth basin with it. And notice what he does. He just dumps barley. What's he doing here? What is this right here? What does this represent? What is he confirming here with this incredible generosity? The NET Bible says this is 60 pounds of barley. Say it loud, sister, because you're on the right track. It's a down payment. It is the earnest. It is the promise that you didn't just hear empty words last night. That when you show up to Naomi with 60 pounds of barley, she's going to know I'm serious about redeeming you. That I have the resources at my disposal to do it. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to do it. Is this a pledge of commitment? And when she came to her mother, the King James says, who art thou? Which is kind of awkward. I'm not sure why they rendered it that way. She's not asking, who art thou? She's asking, how'd it go last night? That's what she wants to know. There hadn't been a Facebook update yet. And so she's got to hear it in person. She says, how'd it go? And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave you me. And he said, go not empty until thy mother-in-law. Is Naomi just racing right now? Is she like, okay, where are they getting married? Who's the wedding coordinator going to be? I mean, is she just going there because she knows that there's been a solid commitment here? I thought to myself, our Lord and Savior said, I'm leaving you, but I won't leave you as an orphan. I won't leave you empty. He said, in him also, when you heard the word of the Lord, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. May I suggest to you tonight that those 6 measures of barley are a picture of the Holy Spirit. That our Lord and Savior says, we haven't consummated this marriage yet. We haven't been to the wedding feast yet. You haven't received your inheritance yet. But I've got 6 measures of barley. Hold out your skirt, and I'm going to dump it in your lap. I'm going to fill you with my Holy Spirit so that you know for sure that when I pledge to marry you, I meant it. I'm going to come through. And she said, sit thou still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. And our Lord Jesus Christ did not rest until he finished our salvation. He hears the words of the Lord, his master, his God, his Father. Sit thou on my right hand. Have a seat. The matter's settled. The redemption's been accomplished. The church has been purchased. It is finished. It's finished. Good stuff, isn't it? It's wonderful. So Boaz has pure motives. He's without sin. Boaz pledges. Boaz promises. Boaz purchases. And Boaz provides provision. I think he's a wonderful type of Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, give us in this church a hunger and a thirst to know your word, to see your word, to look for Christ, to teach Christ. May every Sunday school teacher, may our power hour workers, may our academy teachers and all our Christian school teachers, whether it's here or Fayetteville or Freedom or wherever they be, may they all see their responsibility to unpack the Old Testament narratives and to show Christ in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You are dismissed.